Welcome to Identity Church Sunday Morning Message, where sonship is revealed. Stay tuned at the end of this message to receive more information about resources available through Identity Church. Now grab your Bible, sit back, and enjoy a message from Identity Church that is already in progress.
Go, go, go. Eat your popcorn, get thirsty. There's no soda. Well, good morning, everybody. There's no monitors today, so that means I wear my glasses the whole time I'm up here. So 2 weeks ago, I came to Charlie and I said, I need to preach. I have something burning in me, and he said, well, it's about time. And so title of this message is, move the mic down. Is that better? All right. Should I talk with the radio voice? Where are you in the season of Job? And who are you in the season of Job? We've had a lot of talk lately, some from up here, some from out there, about being in a season of Job. I don't think everybody really knows what that means. So I wanted to share with you what it means to be in a season of Job. It's not a short season. It's 42 chapters long. I got 7 minutes. Is that what you said? Yeah. So it's a daunting read. It's difficult at best. I think I read it through once in my life, and I've been studying it for like 3 or 4 years now. I probably will be in the book for the rest of my life. It's one of the 5 wisdom books. It's part prose and part poetry, although Hebrew poetry is like my poetry. It doesn't always rhyme. Some background. I think, and a lot of people think, there are 3 authors to this book. The first author wrote the first and second chapter and the last chapter. Call that the fable of Job. It is the old story that has been passed down through generations. It is a story that appears in non-Jewish cultures. Job is mentioned in the Quran. Job is mentioned in India in the Far Eastern stories, in the Near Eastern stories. Job is a character that transcends our faith. So the second author was some Jewish guy who wrote chapters 3 through 31 and 38 through 41. We pretty much are sure that Moses wrote down the fable. That's what everybody believes. The second guy used different words for the name of God. So there was a transition. So you could tell it's a different hand that wrote it. Then there's this really confusing part, chapters 32 through 37, about Elihu and what he had to say that just kind of got shoved in there later. And if you read the book and you really want to read it, and you get to the end of chapter 30, like 1, I think it is. I'll tell you this later. Just skip the Elihu part and pick up where God comes in, and you'll see pretty much the continuity, and you'll be able to tell that, yeah, somebody put this piece in there later. So That's kind of where we're at with it. I just wanted to give you that as an overview. I wanted to give you the spoken word I did earlier, which wasn't really spoken word. It was just Rodney's version of one, because my brother told me this morning, you got to have rhythm if you're going to do a spoken word. He says, I could give you some pointers. That didn't happen, by the way. But I am going to take lessons from Tristan and my other brother there, whose name escapes me at the very moment. Evan, sorry. Because they actually can do that. I'm not. So, Job before the test. The beginning of the season. Job, I'm going to read all these scriptures because we won't go to lunch. But I'm going to read a few of them in the beginning. Job before the test. Job 1:1-5. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless and upright, one who feared God and turned away from evil. There were born to him 7 sons, 3 daughters. He possessed a lot of stuff. He possessed 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yokes of oxen, 500 female donkeys. Why is that important? Because you only need one male donkey. If you have 500 females, you're a rich man. One happy donkey. That's what, is this what it's like when I'm up, when you're up here and I'm out there? Cool. And Gary's sitting by Susie. I'm in trouble. So that this man was the greatest of all the people of the East. Did you hear that? He was the greatest. He was the Muhammad Ali of the East. His sons used to go and... Okay, so here's an interesting thing. Job was a priest of his family. Like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Listen to this. And dads, do this. Okay? This is verse 4. His sons used to go and hold a feast in the house of each one on his day, and they would send and invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. So they used to have a party and get drunk. And when the days of the feast had run their course, this is where the dads need to listen, Job would send and consecrate them. He would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, "It may be that my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Thus Job did continually. So how do I do that as a Christian? I ain't going to go slaughter 10 oxen. But I am going to get on my knees or in my prayer closet and I'm going to pray for my kids. I'm going to pray for the things that they may have done. And I'm going to pray for the things that I don't want them to do. And yes, I probably did them all. But that doesn't mean I'm not the priest and I shouldn't pray for them. And I'm sorry, wives, this isn't your job. Unless there's no man, then it is your job. So dads, fathers, that's your job, to be the priest of your family. Behind the scenes, so we shift now in verse 6. And this is important because you get a glimpse of what Job didn't know. Nobody in the story knows what I'm going to read to you next. I'm going to paraphrase it because it takes too long. But Job 6 through 12. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord and Satan. So they were in the court in heaven. Also came before them, the Lord said to Satan, "From where have you come?" Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro on the earth and from walking up and down upon it." And the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and turns away from evil?" Then Satan answered for the Lord and said, "Does Job fear God for no reason? Have you not put a hedge around him and his house and all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will curse you to your face." And the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, all that he has is in your hand. Only against him do not stretch out your hand." So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. And then if you skip ahead to chapter 2, verses 1 through 6, we get another glimpse of what nobody got to see. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan also came among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said to Satan, "From where have you come?" "I've come from walking to and fro and up and down." And the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job?" And blah, 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 blah. "He still holds fast his integrity, although you incited me against him to destroy him without reason." Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Skin for skin, all that a man has he will give for his life. But stretch out your hand and touch his bone, his flesh, and he will curse you to your face." And the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, he is in your hand, only spare his life. So, you know that. Job doesn't know that. His wife doesn't know that. Those three friends don't know that. Elihu doesn't have a clue. So, as you read the rest of the story, you have to keep that in mind. You get a glimpse. How nice would it be to be the one in your daily life who gets the glimpse? Charlie gets a glimpse once in a while. I get one once in a while. Many of you get one. But think about that. What if I got a glimpse into what was going on in my brother's life, and it could direct the whole way I acted towards and about that person? Would I be able to assist that person in their season of Job? Because I can tell you their season of Job would still come. So, those things happen behind the scenes. What happened to Job? He had three calamities that took out all of his wealth, all of his power, his respect in the community, and then God took his children, all 10 of them, boom, in a whirlwind. In an act of God. Some of you in this house have lost a child. You know what that feels like. I have no idea what that feels like. And I don't want to know, and nobody else wants to know that doesn't know what that feels like. However, you could also be the other person in that part of the story. So this is where you get to be, who are you in the season of Job? You could be the man who brought the message to Job that his crops, all of his cattle were dead, all of his belongings were dead, all of his, you know, his wealth was gone. Have you ever had to deliver bad financial news to somebody? Then you've been involved in somebody's season of Job. Have you ever had to tell somebody that their child died? I have had to do that. It is an awful experience. One I hope to never have to do again. It's my darkest night. So you can see, maybe you're going to say, I've never been in a season of Job, Rodney. My life, I have not had anything like what happened. Well, maybe you have been in around it. Or maybe you need to know how to act when you are around it. Don't be those three friends, except for the first 7 days. The only thing they did right was the first 7 days. They came to Job. Job had ripped his clothes, covered himself in ashes, and basically in a true sense of that time, he was mourning. Job's friends came and they sat beside him in the mud, in the dust for 7 days, and they didn't say a word. I'm going to tell you that's the only thing they did right. Because after 7 days, a men's meeting broke out. And Gary was there. Dan was there. Corey was there. Brad came late. You don't want to be that guy. You don't want to be any of these guys. Because they all did it all wrong. They spent 28 chapters. Can you believe that? 28 chapters going back and forth with Job, arguing over what he had done to himself to deserve this fate that he had. You must have sinned, Brad. You deserve this. Repent and you'll be fine. I'm going to step back a second because I just realized I forgot something. So after Job's children died, there's only one place in this whole story where we hear from his wife. And his wife says in chapter 2, verses 7 through 9, verse 9. Now, I got my disclaimer. If you can be a son, I can be Job's wife. Is Thank you. Remember, you're in that new level of love. Then his wife said to him, "Do you still hold fast your integrity? Curse God and die." But he said to her, "You speak as one of the foolish women would speak. Shall we receive good from God, and shall we not receive evil?" In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. Now, here's an interesting thing if you think about it. All his wife says to him is, just curse God and die. Let alone, guess what? She lost 10 children too. She lost all her wealth. She doesn't even act like it happened to her. I'm not saying she didn't care. I'm saying in those two scriptures, two verses, we don't see, the woman was in shock. Have you ever spent time with someone after a death like that? Sometimes they're in a state of just being numb. That's where she was. But she was actually trying to help Job and his suffering, because she knew if he did that, he would die and his suffering would be over. I found so much stuff yesterday about Job's wife that I'm scared to study it all, because I went out and searched Job's wife. Some people think he had two wives, one for the first set of kids and one for the second. She never spoke again in the whole 42 chapters. He alluded to her once later on. Now, I asked God, why didn't you take her life? You took everything else from him. Why didn't you take Job's wife? I'm not saying she deserved it. And he said, the two are one. I told Satan he couldn't take his life. The two are one. So, you know, maybe there was two wives. In that culture, that could happen and it would have been totally acceptable. We don't know the answer to that part of the story. So we get in here with those three guys, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. Nobody has normal names. Guess what? There's truth even in what looks like the bad advice of his friends are saying, if you take the time to sort it out. So don't, you know, here I tell you, just don't be those guys, but look at what they said. And they said it for reasons. They had reasons. They had their beliefs. They spoke from their belief, which if you're a friend of someone and someone, you know, if I was Job and Gary was Bildad, he'd be my friend. You want to be Zophar? You look more like a Zophar. So if Ted was Bildad and I was Job, Ted would want to comfort me. He'd want to give me wisdom. But where would he give me wisdom from? His point of view. His point of view. So just remember to check yourself and ask yourself, where are you giving your wisdom from? Is it from your flesh or from your spirit? Because none of these guys really gave anything from their spirit. So we get to later in the story, and Elihu shows up. I call him Elihu the Interrupter, because he literally appears on the scene. He wasn't there. He doesn't even know what happened, but he has input. Like I said, Brad got there late. Don't be that guy or lady. Don't come late. And put your two, you don't do that, but I, you know. It's a narrative. Charlie, are you running out of popcorn? So Elihu shows up late. Elihu doesn't know what Job has been through. He just wants Job to see what? His point of view. Elihu gives dark counsel. The Lord says so. Now, I'm sure, and I have not studied all those chapters. You start reading them and you're like, what are they saying? I'm sure there's wisdom in those chapters, so this wouldn't be called a book of wisdom. But you have to really like endeavor to spend time there and seek it out. So where is that in the season of Job? You might find yourself there. You might have had the calamity happen. You're sitting there wallowing in your hurt and your pity, and your friends are not helping you. And what do you do? What does Job do in those situations? He stuck up for himself. Job didn't roll over. Did Job stick up for himself rightly? Sometimes, yes. Did he say some things that didn't make sense? Yep, God pointed him out later on. So, you may be there in your season of Job. So Elihu's there. Elihu rambles on. He rebukes the three friends who I don't even know if he knows. He rebukes Job. He talks a lot about God, but he doesn't really understand God. And then in chapter 38, God shows up. And we have the longest, I think, dissertation from God in the whole Bible. God speaks for four chapters, and nobody interrupts him, and he doesn't take a break. So if you want, you know, if you like the wisdom of Proverbs, if you like the wisdoms of Psalms, fine. Go read these four chapters, and I wouldn't read them. I wouldn't try to read them in big chunks. I would read them in small pieces and see what you get out of them. Because God spoke, there's a whole chapter on the spirit of Leviathan. Why did God bring that up then? We don't know, but he laid it out there. So 38:1, then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, here he is, this is where he rebukes Elihu. Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Ouch. He just shuts him down in one verse. That's all Elihu got, was one verse. And then in 38:3, God pivots to Job, and he says this, Job. He says, dress for action like a man. I will question you, and you make it known to me. Huh. Gee, great. Thanks a lot. That's what I want to hear. I'm going to put you on the spot, Job, and you're going to give me your feedback. And then for the next four chapters, God talks about things that Job surely knew, and he talks about some things that he surely did not know. So are you in that season? Are you in the season where God is speaking to you and you're like, whoa, I didn't know that. I don't even understand what you just said to me, God, but I got to put it down. I got to take it into me, and I got to be able to digest it. And by the way, while all this was happening, he was still covered in sores. He was still hurting. His three stupid friends were still there, not helping him. So God can interject in your bad part of your bad season. But will you listen to him? Maybe God talked for four chapters because Job only listened for two. Maybe God said all those things that Job already knew so he would hear the things he didn't. Where are you in that? Do you only listen to the things God says that you know? That's easy. Or do you let God speak to you about those things you don't know? Do you listen when he says them? Do you think about them? Do you ponder them? Do you ask him questions? Now, Job, if he did that, it's not in here. Job, they just listened, but God was not in the mood to be, I can tell you, God was not in the mood to be interrupted in those four chapters. I don't think it would have gone well if he would have been interrupted. So we get to the end of that, and this is where I said earlier, Other than that one verse about Elihu, if you just skip the whole Elihu stuff, and you go from the last time Job speaks in verse 31, and you jump to verse chapter 38, you're going to see the connection other than that one verse. And you're going to say, wow, this could have happened without the Elihu guy even being there. So sometimes the presence of the last person may really not be that important. But we don't know to discount that until later. So in the moment, that person could totally eradicate everything that was already said, and you would listen to him. And you could get in a deeper position, deeper trouble than you already were in. So choose who you listen to wisely. So now we're on the verge of the good part of the story. So Job chapter 42. God finishes up his long dissertation. And actually, when you read like the last two verses of chapter 41, it doesn't necessarily sound like God was done. Here's the last two verses of chapter 41. On earth there is not his like a creature without fear. He sees everything that is high. He is king over all the sons of pride. Now he's talking about Leviathan. Chapter 41 is Leviathan. So God does this whole chapter. There's more in that chapter about Leviathan than there is any place else in the Bible. So if you're a student of the demonic, read chapter 41 and compare it to what else you think you know about the spirit of Leviathan. So Job just like speaks up. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? Who are you talking about in verse 38 too, God? Therefore, I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. So maybe Job was listening to some of that stuff that God said that he hadn't heard before. Hear and I will speak. I will question you and you make it known to me. Ooh. Question you. I had heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore, I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. What was Job repenting for? He didn't sin. Job was repenting for his lack of understanding of the power of God. Job was repenting for his lack of understanding of what happened in the heavens courtroom. Job was repenting for his lack of understanding that this was something that was much bigger than him. Your season of Job may be much bigger than you. Your woe is me might be for someone else or someone else's purpose. I can reflect on that in our life as a family. Our daughter Jessica had leukemia when she was 12. I guess for our family, that was kind of our season of Job. Yet, she triumphantly walked out the other side of it, and today, she's a nurse because of it, and she wants to be an oncology nurse. Now, I'm not saying God gave her leukemia so she would become an oncology nurse, but can you see how her turmoil created something far bigger than what she could see at the end of it? So what does your season of Job look like? I think the first thing you got to ask yourself is, and this is where it's kind of like the ouch moment, was I Job when the season began? Because Job was Job. Job was a righteous man. Were you righteous when you think your season of Job began? Because you may not really be in a season of Job. And you know what? No one should judge that for you but yourself and God. But don't be afraid to ask yourself and God, Am I really in a season of Job? And please, don't declare that over yourself if it's not true, because why would you want to walk through that? So there's the kind of the safety factor in that. Check yourself. Maybe you're not in a season of Job. And I guess the opposite could happen. You could just be oblivious to it and not realize you are in a season of Job. And you'll probably realize it in the next 10 verses, if you are. So the Lord rebukes Job and his friends. 42:7. After the Lord had spoken these words to Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, "My anger burns against you and against your two friends, for you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has. Now therefore take 7 bulls and 7 rams and go to my servant Job and offer up a burnt offering for yourselves, and my servant Job shall pray for you. For I will accept his prayer not to deal with you according to your folly. For you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has." Notice he ain't speaking about Elihu here. So Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar went and did what the Lord said. And the Lord accepted the prayer of Job. There's a whole bunch of stuff right there. So, the 3 village idiots had to sacrifice, right? They had to give up something that, well, we know Job didn't have any of that stuff, right? So they had to get their own oxen and give them up. But really, what was the key to all this? Wasn't there? Their sacrifice created the altar, but Job's prayer was the incense on the altar. So Job's prayer not only freed his friends and repent and as an act of repentance, his own repentance had already happened in those first 6 verses. Now he's repenting for the actions of his 3 friends, and that allows God to move. Or at least God decides it's time to move. God can move when he wants to. So the Lord restores Job's fortunes. This is the last part of the season of Job. This is part 15, if you were keeping track. And the Lord restored the fortunes of Job, and when he had prayed for his friends, and the Lord gave twice as much as he had before. Then came to him all his brothers and sisters and all who had known before him, and ate bread with him to his house, in his house. So they had a party. And they showed him sympathy and comforted him for all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Ooh, they got understanding. Somewhere here, they figured it out. And God does not really reveal it in those 4 chapters, by the way. And each of them gave him a piece of money and a ring of gold. Now, some say that's how his wealth got restored. Nah. God wouldn't let it happen that way. Then it would have been our doing, not his. And the Lord, so there we are. We're going to pause right there for a minute, because I want to make sure I don't miss something. So, God's final act is restoration. I wrote in my notes, you will know when you are here. You may not know where you are in a season of Job, but you will know when you are at the moment of restoration. You will see God's favor on your life. You will see him shine. You'll see probably the countenance of that wife changed. It could be. Maybe that's the way. Hey, I like that. So, oh my gosh, I'm in trouble later. She says, well, she didn't get a second husband. Actually, she does. So, we've already talked about why there's only 10 children. Right? We all know that part of the story because there's 10 still in heaven and they're going to be reunited. Okay? There's an interesting verse way back in chapter 19. I'll tell it to you just so you can go read it yourself. But it's if I had had my scriptures here perfectly up on the board like I wanted to, we would have not skipped it. But in chapter 19, verses 12, 13, is that it? No. 19:23. So how'd Job know he had kids in heaven? And why was he not whining? Because God didn't make him 20 of them. Oh, that my words were written. Oh, that they were inscribed in a book. Guess what, Job? They were. Oh, that with an iron pen and lead, they were engraved in the rock forever. Where? In the rock. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been thus destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. My heart faints within me. So just like David saw Christ on the cross, and we have prophetic psalms, Job understands about his Redeemer. He's a kingdom man in the Old Testament. He also was a son and a father. He had all this stuff. He kind of transcends the dividing line between the Old and New Testament just by that statement. So, how do we wrap this up and put a bow on it so you can go to lunch? God's final act is restoration. 42:10-17. And the Lord restored the fortunes of Job when he had prayed for his friends. And the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then came to him all his... We read that part. Okay, skip ahead. And the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning. And he had, and he lists all the stuff he had. And funny, in both times that the kids are talked about, only his daughters are named. And then in verse 15 it says, and in all the land there were no women so beautiful as Job's daughters. And their father gave them an inheritance among their brothers, which was not the custom of the time. And after this, so here's the good news. After this, Job lived 140 years and saw his sons and his sons' sons four generations. And Job died an old man and full of days. Don't forget what comes after the season of Job. Don't forget what comes after. Job didn't have a second season like that. At least we didn't write about it. I pray that if you have a season of Job, you only have one. So I ask you, where are you in the season of Job? Who are you in the season of Job? Maybe now you have a little better understanding of that. That's what I really wanted to give you today. And maybe it gets you enough interested that you'll try to read one of the most difficult books in the Bible. Good luck with that. So I don't have a fancy prayer here to like have you stand up and put your hand over your heart. I'm not good at that. No, that's no slam on Charlie. Every preacher does that stuff. I'm not good at that. I'm barely good at writing a spoken word, so he's going to come up here and do that now. Would you come up here and do that? Would you put your hand over your heart?
All right, y'all stand up.
I did not know I was going to do that, by the way.
I think the key to the whole thing is that God released that season when he prayed for his friend. So find somebody to pray for before you leave today. And in doing so, you're going to be released. They're going to be released. And God will always get the goody out of the thing. That's all I got.
Three other things. I think I know what that was. Job is mentioned two other places. And think about the people in the Bible that get mentioned in somebody else's book. That's a pretty short list of people, right? So in James chapter 5, James talks about Job. From what I understand, James only really understood the first, second, and last chapter of Job. So as you read what he says, think about that. And then in Ezekiel, I think it's chapter 19 or Ezekiel 14, God is speaking through Ezekiel about demolishing Jerusalem if they don't do this or that. And he says, and but for the three, Daniel, Moses, and Job, I would destroy you all, but them I would let stand alone. Not their households, just them. So God speaks of Job's righteousness. The other thing I stumbled on, and you'll like this because it's your dad's favorite psalm, Psalm 37. Read Psalm 37 with Job in mind. I'm not saying Job wrote it, but some people call all that Job's psalm because it speaks about the life he led and what he went through. It's in there. So there's definitely two places where God chose to highlight Job in the Bible beyond the 42 chapters he gave him. And the last thing I would say is, like, if you like to read this stuff, nobody reads the book of Proverbs in one sitting. Read it in pieces. Read it, treat it as what it is, and read it, chapter at a time, a couple verses at a time. So I thought it was fitting that you were here today with an old team. This is an old book. I thought that was kind of cool. When I found out yesterday that you were leading worship, I was like, that's kind of cool. I'm kind of old. No, you're not as old as me, but I'm still better looking. So go and sin no more. Amen. Thank you, everybody.
Find somebody to pray for.
Find somebody to pray for.
Thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church. To know more about us, go to identitychurch.net, where you'll find resources such as a calendar, media, and upcoming events. You may also download an app for your mobile device from the Apple App Store or Google Play. Then from your mobile device, you can hear our messages. Read from the Bible, take notes, connect with us on the social media, and even pay your tithe. Again, thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church.